accession number 22086, reel 7.
Colonel Shakespeare, reel 7. You were saying you managed to get to your feet.
Yeah. And was making my way up towards the left-hand platoon. And my little Gurkha gunman suddenly appeared and grabbed me, because I must have been sort of moving rather erratically, I suppose. And I said, he said, no, you go this way. And he took me back to the company headquarters we'd captured, where my 2IC was, and a German stretcher bearer. And I said, I'm going up in Palma, and Singh said, no. I couldn't say anything. My tongue was, split in two. And so I then walked back with a German one side, my little gunman the other side, or whatever it was, 600, 700,000 yards back to Auditorium. And with shells dropping all around, and fire, machine gun fire, thinking to myself, I don't want to be hit again. Anyway, I got back, and it wasn't until the adjutant actually, I was trying to tell him to fire on Monkey 310, which is engraved in my heart. It was the on-call sign for the gunners to fire on a target, which was San Giovanni.
Yes.
That little bit of road just up there.
On the right-hand side.
And on the right-hand side. Mm. And I couldn't get it across. Eventually, I wrote it down for him. Mm. I think he got it. But he put his hand behind me, and suddenly he found it was covered in blood. He said, oh, Christ, it looked as though I'd just been nicked here, you see.
Yes.
And then they realised that it was a bit worse. Mm. But so I departed the battle. Mm. And A Company did bloody well. Mm. They nearly got to that feature.
Yes.
They couldn't. D Company were then they held a bit on the left, and A Company were told to withdraw up a forward slope the next day, and Bombarda section, he had been my orderly for some 6 months or more early on, Lance Corporal Bombarda Tapa, covered the company withdrawal with his section, and was found with his section, and he had the Bren gun, all dead. Got nothing for it. Got a mention in dispatch a year later.
What had happened to him? How had he been?
Hmm?
What had happened to him? How had he been killed?
Killed. Yeah. Covering a withdrawal, the whole section was out in a line, apparently.
A skirmish line.
Well, they were covering the withdrawal, mm-hmm. and they'd been killed. Mm. But that upset me, because he might easily have had an IOM or something like that, which have given his widow a pension. Mm-hmm. But there we are. Palman, my second in command, was put in for the Silver Star, American Silver Star, never got anything either. Or did he? I can't remember. He may have got a... Mm. He went on latterly to become a fully commissioned Gurkha. He was the MTO of the 2nd Battalion in Malaya years later, and he and another company commander were in an Auster doing a recce, and they hit a tree and were both killed. Mm. An awful loss. But he is a first-class man. But, yes, the... They got to San Giovanni eventually, but it was a hell of a slog.
What had happened to you in the meantime? Did you? What had happened to you? You'd been wounded.
Oh, I spent a bit of time. I spent a bit of time on a Jeep Land Rover in the church, with the mules and things, because the mules had to be put in the church. A gun, American the. The German guns were firing, and for safety, and the Land Rover, Jeep Land Rover was there, and I was lying on it. And my left hand platoon commander, the chap I was trying to carry, nursing, XPT chap, he'd been badly wounded in the arm. He was sitting beside me and waiting for a quiet moment to sort of drive off down the road to a dressing station, the advanced dressing station or something.
Had you had any first aid applied by that stage?
Oh, yes, the doctor, you know, the MO was up in the auditorium. What he'd done, I have no idea. I have no idea what he did to me, because there's not very much he could do, I don't think.
Well, I mean, the normal thing would be, wouldn't it, to apply the first field dressing?
Oh, yes, that was probably there.
Yes.
But I remember trying to talk. I remember Narasinghe saying to me, he said, shut up and keep quiet. I remember going down, sort of a tank had stopped in the middle of the way, off the thing, round into an ambulance, and I eventually woke up in, way, way back, it was a village on the Adriatic, miles away, where I woke up going up the steps, and I remember a chap saying, oh yes, yeah, we better get on to him quick, you know, and I woke up in the hospital the next morning. But quite an experience, one way or another.
Do you know what it was that had shot you?
No, must have been a high velocity rifle or a machine gun bullet. Yes. Very high velocity, a millimetre further to the right. And
this was in the dark, but with a moon.
Full moon. Brilliant. Must admit, I had, might be useful knowledge. A company, I didn't tell you this, but when the orders for this last attack took place, and I was up in the village auditory looking as far as we could see, this, that, and the other, Murti Gurung, the 3 platoon commander, turned to me. He said, is there no other company in this battalion but A company? And I said, oh, well, you know, it's one of those things. Because we'd been the whole time forward. And it mounts up. It's rather like this Wimbledon tennis, this tie-break business.
The tension. The mental
tension. And it wasn't the battles. It was the tension before battle was joined. And I was feeling, I got to the stage where I was feeling pretty tired and wrought up. And I'd written a letter to my parents and given it to the CO. I said, send that, will you? Because I didn't expect to get round auditory, and you know, I thought we'd bite the dust. And I wasn't far out, but I had virtually got to the stage where, God damn it, and when I was told to stay near the radio and things, I said, bloody hell, I'll go up. And I really couldn't care less what happened. And I'd get there and sort something out and find out what was going on, which is probably not a good thing when you take it quietly and think about it. It's rather like generals going too far forward and fighting the battles. Right, they must get them back to see the big picture. And that was it, yes. It was tension and the feeling of, so what, you know, it doesn't really matter.
How long had it been since you'd actually had a rest when you were going into that last attack, feeling so reckless?
God knows. I know we were on the go the whole time.
Do you think your Gurkha officers were suffering from the same
thing?
Oh,
yes, I'm crying. Well, that's what I've already said.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were. Yes. But you see, my left-hand platoon, Narasinghe platoon, had to take D Company's objective virtually. Mm. As far as I know, because I never got there to see. Mm. But that's what I argued with the CEO. I said, send D Company up there, and then I'll go this way. But he wouldn't have it.
Did you actually hear the shot that wounded you?
Or oh, Lord,
you,
no.
You were just knocked out.
There was a hell of a lot going on.
Yes.
Far too much. Far too much.
How long were you in hospital with the wound?
What's that, 4th September? I think I went down from the first thing by a Dakota aircraft ambulance to Bari, Barletta, Bari, was it Bari? Where there were two maxillofacial surgeons who looked after me.
Surgeons, yes.
A major battle and a major blood.
Very appropriate names.
Very appropriate names. In the year Dot in Sorga when I was there, they had a major slaughter. Who was? But battle and blood did their stuff. And I was there, about a week. And they were saying, right, up on your feet, boy, you'll be all right. And woof. Within hours, I had swollen up. I got osteomyelitis of the jawbone. And my lower lip was up here somewhere. And they said, they're giving me painkiller after painkiller. It made no effect whatsoever. So the next day, they drove in there and sort of took out all my teeth, my lower teeth. And that was all right. They gave me penicillin and killed the osteomyelitis, thank God.
Penicillin was still experimental.
It was very, very... Anyway, they gave it to me and it worked. And I went across to Major Clarkson, who was later to be the chief medical officer in the Army. At, was it 93 General Naples? And when I was strong enough, I used to walk down the Via Roma to the San Carlo Theatre and go to an opera and then wend my way gently back up again. It took a wee while. I was there about a month or so. November, December, came back to England to have my face sorted out by Sir Harold Gillies, who was the great plastic surgeon for the Army, as opposed to Mackindo, who did the RAF work. And I've never forgotten, I was told to see him at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, and he is a man of 70, I believe, still very nearly a scratch golfer, but of mercurial temperament, as you would expect in a brilliant man, I suppose. And he took one look at me and, he said, and he put his fingers in my mouth and did that. He said, oh, that's all right. No boxing. No more boxing. 9 o'clock on Wednesday suits you, my boy. And that was all right. Because if he didn't like your face, or 6 months, come back in 6 months' time.
Put you at the back of the list.
Oh, yeah. So I was lucky. And the chap who was waiting to go in just after me was a chap who had been at school with me at Malvern. And he went in. He was a gunner. He'd been wounded. And he'd all this knocked away.
His cheeks and nose.
Cheek and nose and nasty wound. And Sir Harold looked at him. And he said, I've forgotten his name now, but he said, that's extraordinary. I operated on a chap in the Great War. He said, it's my father. Father and son had almost identical wounds. Extraordinary. No. Basingstoke or Park Pruitt, the loony bin, it was Rookstown House. was, I think it's still going. I don't know what it's used for now, because they've got a district hospital there, but the loony bin or building is still there. But that was quite interesting too. I learned a lot by watching people who'd been really badly wounded surviving and getting through burns, terrible burns. And he just slowly bringing them back to life. Very intriguing.
What do you think you learned from watching them then? What did you learn? What
lessons
did you learn from?
Again, Sir Harold himself, he always had Westminster trained nurses. They had to be Westminster trained, and they were a delightful bunch, I must say. But his sense of humour, I mean, he didn't mind what he said in front of the nurses or anything. There was all sorts of jokes about somebody had his shot away. He said, "Oh, I can build you a new one." "Oh, yes. Would you like it a permanent one or one put on at will?" And then another one said, "Oh, yes, I can build you some couple, but I can't put any cream in them." And then little remarks like that. Wonderful for morale. Absolutely wonderful. That, of course, is half the business in battle. You've got to keep a sense of humour. You've got to be able to laugh at some terrible things. Or put them behind you.
How long did you stay in Britain then for this treatment?
In December, I think I went out to... I joined the battalion again in Greece at Alexandroupolis in May, June the next year.
Were you fully fit by that time when you...
I thought I was.
You thought you were.
But I wasn't.
What was wrong?
I played basketball. Give me 2 minutes and I was actually flat out.
It was just exhaustion.
I thought basketball was a little child's game, you know. Boy.
It takes a lot of energy to play basketball.
This was Gurkha basketball, which was... You didn't bounce it at all, because
yes.
Northwest Frontier, you couldn't bounce. There were too many rocks about.
Yeah.
You played...
Just passing it.
Almost netball, like the girls call it. You're passing without... and you can't run more than 2 points a year. But... I suddenly realised how unfit I was. But I survived. We all had to learn to swim and do this, that and the other. Training for Operation Zipper in Malaya, which we, thank God, never got to.
What were they doing in Greece when you reached?
This was... 4th British were in Athens area, southern.
Yes.
We were Saloniki and north. It was the anti-communist KKE and ELAS, and sorting that out. I got there really after... I didn't see anything other than routine administration. What I didn't realise was it was a terrible time the civilians in Greece had. They really had, and if they could get something out of us, they'd try. For instance, they'd say, "Well, can we use your lorries to do something or other, because we haven't got any petrol or other." And I came to IC for a bit, and I found out, I said, this was absolute nonsense, because they could perfectly well use their own lorries, you know. But what I hadn't understood was the awful time they'd had on the Germans. But they were very, very pleasant, very nice.
I think Salonika and that area had been quite a hotbed of ELAS and communist activity. Did you see any signs of that, or of a persistence?
Well, no, when I got there, after the regiment or the division, and God knows when the division was pulled out from short of the Po and sent to Greece.
Yes.
4th British and 4th Indian. And I joined in June, and things had finished by then.
Well, the war was over as well, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember hearing that the war in Europe had come to an end?
I think I was here.
In England?
I think it was, yes. It doesn't sort of ring much of a bell, actually. What was interesting to us, having been wounded, these days, of course, anyway, post-traumatic stress and all the rest of it. Counselling, that's the other ghastly word that comes. And I certainly had no counselling, but there's no doubt about it, I had post-traumatic stress, though it didn't occur to me.
Hadn't been invented then.
And
what were the signs of it? What were the symptoms of it?
Well, I don't know. I think I was a bit grumpy. It wasn't until my dad, I think, suggested I wrote up my experiences. So I wrote a little thing for Blackwood's, an old magazine. And they very kindly sent it back saying, oh, it's very nice, but I want a little bit more about the Gurkhas or something. By which time, I had got rid of all my sort of, you know, thing, writing it all down. Mm. I think it had done me good. And
stopped you being grumpy.
Yeah. Mm. But that was interesting too. Yes.
Had the battalion had any serious trouble while they were in Greece before you'd rejoined them?
Don't think so, no. No.
Now tell me about Operation Zipper. What was that?
Zipper, that was the invasion of Malaya. Oh. We did all... we were all ordered to swim. Gurkhas, you see, don't swim. Mm. You can't swim in the Himalayan rivers. They're too...
too cold, I suppose.
Too lethal. Mm. They go like smoke. Mm. The odd chap swims, I suppose. But so we got 99%. There was one chap in my company who couldn't swim. It was a cook or somebody, I can't remember. But otherwise, we all spent our time in bathing costumes or swimming. And normally, I burn like mad in the sun. But I had this thing called scald, I think it was, and that saved me getting burnt. But there we are, we all swam. And then we went eventually back to India and down to Bombay, where we were doing landing craft assault, LCA training at Mad Island, time after time going in, and then the H-bombs and finish.
So the landing craft you were using, were these the standard sort of assault craft?
Oh, they were LCAs, yes.
30 men?
That's about
something
it.
Something like that, yes.
Maybe even less than that. Yeah, quite small. Landing crafts, yeah. LCAs, yes. Yeah. You dropped the bar. They were flat bottomed and came up on the shore and then dashed out and one there, and went up the middle.
So left, right, and centre.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
And would did you know where this assault was likely to be?
No. We never got that far. Yeah. Gurkhas, of course, are notorious seamen anyway. You know, sick all over the place. Especially it was a bit choppy.
What about the drills there and the swimming? Did they take to swimming reasonably?
Oh, yes, they loved it. Mm. They loved it, yeah. Oh. We did maximum swimming. And, of course, they were, well, I presume, I can't remember where the range was. They were presumably keeping their hand in shooting. And
yes.
Range, isn't it?
What did you think when you heard about the atomic bombs? Do you remember what your thoughts were?
Thank God for that, I think. Quite honestly. But no more than that. There were a hell of a lot of Japanese died. I think it saved a lot of Japanese and a lot of Americans. Looking at some of the battles of Okinawa and all those things, terrible. Yes.
You said you were in this island practicing the amphibious assault when you heard that the atomic bombs had dropped. Yes,
I've forgotten now. Well, anyway, it must have been sometime then because that was the end of our training for Operation Zipper. Mm.
What did the battalion do then after that? Because presumably the war came to an end. And
this is in 46, 47, yes. This was internal security in India during all the uprisings and Mountbatten came out. Wavell said no and retired. And they sent Mountbatten out, and they ruined India as it was, made it Pakistan and India. And the Indian Army, which was the probably the well, obviously the finest volunteer army in the world, I reckon, was split up.
What did your Gurkha officers think about this division of?
Well, there were cliques and things. Indian people, you know, trying to get at the Gurkhas, and there were some nasty little episodes. But on the whole, we in Bombay were operational and out the day before anything was liable to happen, and it didn't happen. The Prime Minister, Mr. Carr, I think his name was very sensible. Mm. And I don't think we fired a round. Or one officer, I think, fired a couple of rounds from a pistol into the air, and that was it. But no real nastiness.
No large-scale disorder?
No. No, not in Bombay. Mm.
Did you see signs of this trouble?
We didn't down there. Didn't. No, thank God. One or two went up on the Boundary Commission. It was really horrible, you know, train loads of dead going up.
Going both ways, presumably.
Terrible. Mm. It's unbelievable. You couldn't believe it could happen. My godfather happened to be, he was CNC Eastern Command in Calcutta, and he was always very upset because he'd gone back to England. He wasn't a very fit man. He had commanded 4th Indian at the Casino Battle, before the Casino Battles, not that. And latterly 4th Corps in Burma. And it was CNC. And he said that when he went back to England, it was most unfortunate. His second-in-command, when the Muslims and the Hindus got together with knives, and didn't take action quite as quickly as he should have done. They lost 1 million dead in Calcutta. Yes. This was in 46.
He thought that prompt action could have stopped that. Or
what?
He thought that prompt action could have stopped
well,
that.
Well, yes, he said so. He'd have authorised soldiery in straight away. But there we are. No, there's this awful business of Hindu, Muslim, and it goes on and on and on. Religion, Ireland, Palestine, India,
former Yugoslavia,
Kashmir, you name it. It never stops, does it?
Nope.